From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska. This is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Dog Works Radio. We have a brand new show today. It is called The Gypsy Musher, and I'm sitting here with 8-time Iditarod runner and 11-time Yukon Quest musher, Hugh Neff. Hugh, how's it going?
Good to be here, Robert. Always nice to be in Willow because this is where the race starts.
This is the mushing capital of the world. The race actually starts just about 3 miles from here, right on Willow Lake. I know that's familiar ground for you, and we're going to start this show off by introducing who you are. I know a lot of people follow you on Facebook, and everybody knows who the man behind the Laughing Eyes Kennel is. But let's get to know Hugh. What's Hugh all about?
Hugh's all about living up to the spirit of Joe Reddington, and it's all about being an Alaskan. A lot of people want me to win these races, and that would be nice and everything. But for me, it's all about just the journey and traveling, enjoying the great land, visiting with friends, and, you know, the dogs, obviously. It's all about the love of the dogs.
So on our new show, The Gypsy Musher, we're going to air this show every week, Hugh and I, on blogtalkradio.com/dogworks. We're going to try to focus on that journey, and the reason we're calling it The Gypsy Musher is because it is kind of a nomadic lifestyle that people follow, and that's what Hugh is all about. Explain why you want to call it The Gypsy Musher.
I was actually up in the Black Hills there outside of Dawson one year, one of my rookie years, coming into Dawson and hanging out with one of the top Quest mushers of all time, John Schanelmeyer, and I pulled up and said, "Hey, John, can I camp next to you?" And he said, "You sure can, Gypsy Musher." And from that time on, I just thought of myself. People have other nicknames for me, but I look at myself as a nomad of the North. I travel pretty much more than anybody each year. People are amazed how much I travel, considering I don't really do super amazing in race finishes. But for me, it's not about trophies or prize money. It's just about living life to the fullest. And a lot of people follow my journeys and sort of can enjoy Alaska by what they see I'm doing. So I really have a very blessed life and some of the greatest dogs in the world. So I feel really good about life right now.
So how does a person from Chattanooga, Tennessee, by way of Evanston, Illinois, end up in Alaska? I know you've been in Alaska for about 15 years now. What in the world brought you up here?
Like I said in my bio, it's reading Lou Friedman books. I did write classics and falling in love with Hobo Jim and his music, and originally came up working on a slime line in a cannery, didn't even know what dog mushing was, went down to 4th Avenue where all the tourists are in Anchorage one summer, and saw a video at the movie theater of the Iditarod, and they had Martin Boozer on there, who I respect a lot, and he was out in the middle of nowhere hallucinating like crazy, and had a big goofy, his smile, and he Martin likes to chat it up, and I said, "Man, I want to be like that guy. That looks like a lot of fun." And I just got real lucky, man. When I came up from Chicago, I didn't go and work for a Martin Boozer, a Jeff King, or a Lance Mackey. I went and I lived with the native people out in Tanana and up in the villages, and the Earharts and the other natives, Minto, Nanana, they're the ones that really taught me how to live off the land. So more than being some wannabe great Iditarod champion, I want to be a great Alaskan, and that's really what my goal is in life.
So you were saying that you didn't come up here to mush dogs or run dogs, where a lot of us do. We come up here with that aspiration or dream of running that Iditarod. You came up here to start a new life, start a new lifestyle, and I've heard your story time and time again. You came up here with a couple hundred bucks, and the next thing you know, you're an 8-time Iditarod musher and a pretty good Yukon Quest musher. How long did it take you to get to that point where you're at now? 95 to 2011 seems like a long time, but it's not really a long time in the mushing world. So let's talk about that for a second.
Well, I every year I don't take life for granted, that's for sure. I've seen a lot in my life, a lot of tough times, and obviously, my dad was probably a little disturbed with what I did with that college education money at University of Illinois. But, you know, I've always loved Alaska. I always tell people that, to me, Alaska isn't a state. It's a state of mind. And for me, it's about freedom. It's about love of the land. Folks down south might think we're a little goofy up here because of the way we're represented by some people. But I think anybody in Alaska knows why we live here. And there's so many blessings and freedoms we have up here that I cherish every day. But, you know, I just read a lot of books, like a lot of us, you know, the Jack London, the Robert Service. Just being an Eagle Scout, I've always loved the woods. And just the opportunity to hang out with a lot of Native people has been awesome. They've got, you know, tough times in some of the villages, and it's pretty tough financially nowadays to be a dog musher. But the beauty of starting off as a sprint musher is what I learned, you know, with heroes like George Atla and Doc Lombard and all that crowd. And Lester obviously was like the biggest mentor in my mushing career. It's a religion up there, you know. It's not racing. It's, you know, they can, to win these big races nowadays, you got to have, you know, a lot of finances and all that. I pretty much live on the road system. But to me, sprint mushing, I don't look at it as the Fur Ronnie of the North American. I look at it as being up on the Tanana or up at Joey Reddington's in Manly, and that's what sprint mushing is to me. Or any of the villages along the river.
Well, and we've talked a lot about that on our other show, Mush You Huskies, about it being a lifestyle. And those guys that ran sprint mushing, they did it as part of their lifestyle. It was their mode of transportation for years. And that's what they did on the weekends. You know, it's like us down in the States, you know, we watch football on the weekends, but, you know, we go out and play the pickup game with our buddies. That's how they spent their off time, was doing the sprint mushing races, and that's why they've been so good for so long, right?
Just to have fun, you know, a little bit of gambling, big potlatch and party on the weekend, dance until the sun comes up. I mean, I feel sorry for any mushers that are doing the road races along the road system and don't get out the villages and do Cusco or, you know, go to Kotzebue in spring and do the 440. I mean, to me, the village lifestyle, it's what Alaska's all about. So it can be difficult. It's pricey. I ain't making a lot of money being a musher, that's for sure. But, you know, I've known a lot of wealthy people. Before I did this, you know, I was a golf caddy. I caddied for Bill Murray and, you know, the ex-governor of Illinois and some fairly famous wealthy people. And I learned a lot of things about wealthy people. There's a lot of wealthy people that aren't very happy. And I think we've really seen that in this day and age. And for me, it's all about peace of mind. It's about being one with nature and being out in the woods and being productive too, not just hanging out and saying, no, I don't have to work or anything. I work every day. I might not have a job where I have to go and work 9 to 5 and, you know, check in and everything, but believe me, I'm sweating every day. And not because I want to make money, because I enjoy working. I enjoy being productive, and I have a passion for what I do. And the energy that I give to my dogs, I think it reverberates. And that's a lot of what mushing is to me. Not about how well trained or how tough your dogs are. It's about how you care for them on a daily basis, and just your animal husbandry and your love of the animal. So, if anything, as the years have gone down, I've actually toned down my training and realized it's not about being the he-man of the north. It's about being a good human to your dog mushers, to your dogs and your dog mushers, I guess. But, you know, caring for them, loving them, and having an incredible bond with them. And, I think it's shown in, you know, I've got a lot of 4 or 5-year-old dogs that I've already done 6,000-7,000 milers. And I just love looking at people's faces when they realize that. And they're, you know, my first 1,000 miler, the Quest, was in 2000. And I only had about 10 dogs at the time. That's what I started the race with. Lucky to finish. I finished with 7 of them. But that was in 2000. And this next Quest is going to be my 20th. So I hope people realize that I'm not doing this for riches because I want to win. I'm doing it because I love what I do. And I don't really want to be some, you know, top champion musher. I'd be icing on the top of the cake, but I want to be the poor boy, you know, comes up to Alaska with a couple hundred bucks and shows people that, you know, things are possible in this world, especially in the North, if you have a good work ethic and you want to, you know, explore life.
And that's what this show is going to be all about. It's about that lifestyle. It's not going up there running after sponsors and you know, chasing the check, so to speak. It's about the lifestyle that you're leading. And so many of your followers and friends that you have, especially on social media, that's what is so attractive about you, is that lifestyle that you lead. You know, you're not just out there promoting – a product or a service. You're promoting a lifestyle, and I think that's what we're trying to capture here. Is that right?
For me, I've been very blessed. My little sister, Teresa, is a dean of a school in Connecticut now, but she was a teacher 12 years ago. She's the one that got me into doing my school tours. And just for me, really, as much fun as I have being on the trail and traveling, I really like to influence the younger kids in a positive direction. It's tough being a kid nowadays. I was lucky growing up, man. My dad was my scoutmaster, and I spent a lot of time in northern Wisconsin, and I'm still best friends with all the guys that I grew up with. Since we were 5 years old, we still get together. I was just hanging out with my buddy Mike from Trapper Creek last night, helping him with his new place that he's putting in up there. So for me, it's about taking my blessings and sharing them with others. I'm not a greedhead, that's for sure. You know, 12 years of Catholic school will get you out of that. I'm more about, promoting the lifestyle, and it's not only about my success, but it's about the community's success. And most importantly, dog mushing success. I think dog mushing really globally can be a lot bigger than it is, and I think we all have to pull our talents together as mushers, like Reddington and Mackey and all the guys did back in the day, and give more of ourselves to helping the sport grow. And not for our own financial success, but just for, I think dog mushing needs more respect, I would say. I think we all know what it's about, but I don't think the whole world knows just yet, but we're getting close.
We're getting closer. And, you know, you said just a second ago about community. Right now you hang your hat in Tok, Alaska, and I was privileged enough to come up and visit you guys this past weekend and pick up a couple of dogs for my qualifiers this year. Tell us about that community. When I was up there, you're pointing out, you know, here's so-and-so, here's so-and-so. You know, that truly is an Alaskan community, isn't it?
Yeah, for me, it's a great community because I'm one of the few distance mushers, so I get to stay out of a lot of the soap operas. Lord knows I've had a few of my own, but for me, it's all about just getting out in the woods with the dogs, and it's a lot of quality time. Not just only training, but just day-to-day living. That's why we really love it. But I love Tok because right out the southern section of there, as you're heading towards Fairbanks, there's just endless trails. And it's I'm renting a place from Amy and Peter, some friends of mine, and it's just been a great training there. It's beautiful training. I got 40 solid young dogs. What I consider young, you know, my average age dog is, for my racing, is probably about 3 years old or something, and they need a lot of experience this year. So besides being in Tok, I'd like to head up towards Chicken on the Taylor Highway. That's where Sonny Linder, one of my favorite mushers that I really respect a lot, used to train. And I'm like every other musher, man. I'm looking at the weather on the internet, and if I see snow down by Denali Highway or up by Manly or wherever, I'll be traveling. And I love getting back to Tanana, where I used to live, and we're actually hoping to have a little race there in early December from the Eureka area towards Tanana and back. That's where, like, Swenson and Susan Butcher used to train, and very remote, rugged. My buddy Brent Sass is up there, and he loves it, you know. And you can't be at a race that where you race from hot spring to hot spring, so hopefully we can make it happen.
And you were saying that you have, right now you have 40 dogs, and most of them are younger dogs. Tell our new listeners what it is like to have, again, I'm trying to paint this picture to people about a lifestyle. Tell us about kind of the daily life of somebody with 40 dogs that they're going to be training for these long-distance races, these 1,000-mile races. Because the race, like you said, it's just the icing on the cake.
Oh, yeah.
That's the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's all those, 140, close to 200 days of working up to those races that is, you know, where these dogs perform the best. Tell us about that. Tell us about that that way of life that you have with these 40 magnificent animals that you spend so much time with.
There has to be a consistency to your overall chores and all that, but you try to mix it up. You don't want the dogs to get bored as far as feeding schedule goes and all that. But most of my mushroom friends, at least, you got to start off the day with a good cup of coffee, obviously, and go from there. Get your food ready. I like to cook fish for the dogs, mix it with red paw kibble, which I use. It's, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know why anybody would want to use any other type of kibble. It's just good stuff. And then
Is that a promotional spot, by the way?
No, it's just, you know, it is.
It's the best stuff out there, I think.
Yeah, you go to any race and you'll see a lot of Red Paw bags and different people's dog trips. But besides that, you know, feed the dogs up, make sure that yard's spotless, get them ready to rock and roll. I'm not into doing – that's the funny thing. People do – I think I'm out there doing these huge major runs to train for the races where we tend to do some longer runs. I don't train that way. I just train at a consistent level, keeping them happy. I'm not trying to set any speed records. I'm not a sprint musher where I'm into, you know, going at a certain pace and getting the dogs back in the truck within 45 minutes or whatever. I want to spend the whole day on the trail with the dogs and stop a lot and have fun and explore and keep them from being bored. And that's what I'm always trying to do is, you know, find different spots in Alaska to go check out because they really feed off the musher's energy. And a lot of the dogs that are younger, I'm just putting them next to older dogs. And I'm not training these dogs. These dogs are training each other. And it's a community. You know, I don't really even particularly care for the word kennel. I consider it to be a canine community. If you ever come to my yard, there's going to be a few little girls running around, keeping all the boys happy and playing with everybody. Jewel, Annie's daughter, who's my main leader now, is out there prancing around. And I got a couple of the older dogs like Walter, Maestro, that are hanging out. And we've got pens where we'll let them run around and play after runs and loosen up. It's almost like a big schoolyard of kids, you know. And the one thing about kids, though, is you got to
keep them in line every now and then.
Yeah, well, you got to let them know who the principal is.
Right, right. You know, I saw something on Facebook a couple weeks ago where you talked about one night you just kind of went out in the middle of nowhere, put a sleeping bag up on top of the dog truck, and just kind of chilled.
Yeah.
You know, that to me is the epitome of a musher's life. You know, a lot of us, myself included, living so close to the road system, and that's by choice because I have to work for a living. You know, my wife and I, we have to have real jobs, at least right now. Tell us about that. Tell us about just getting out there, because literally within a few miles of any road system in Alaska, you're in the middle of nowhere. Tell our listeners that, you know, that are listening, you know, New York City, Philadelphia, you know, they're not used to the concrete jungle. Let's talk a little bit about the wilds of Alaska.
It's interesting, you know, because I'm coming from Chicago, there ain't too many people. I'm racing against the Mackeys or Reddingtons that are used to, you know, being in a neighborhood even where it's just wall-to-wall people. And, you know, I went to classes at U of I, there would be 5,000 people in the class. Poli-Sci, of course. But, most mushers are not really great with humans, actually, because we're just so enthralled with dogs that we actually, I don't know if it's the rivalries we have with each other or just, you know, it's hard for us to communicate sometimes because we're so used to doing our dog talk. And I'm one of these people that I know thousands of people. I couldn't really recite all their names to you right now, but I meet a lot of people throughout my school tours and the races and all that. That being said, people wouldn't realize that Hugh Neff, the loudmouth who's all full of himself and all this, is actually a hermit. I spend most of the time by myself, man, by choice, because I'm a little bit out there. You know, I've got a lot of energy. I can't handle being in traffic. I'm not good at being in store lines. I pick times a day to go anywhere, really, because I'm a...
You're a gypsy.
I'm a gypsy.
There you go.
I'm just, you know, I got a few voices in my head, I guess, and... I'm a gypsy wannabe native, pretty much, and I'm sort of like I consider myself to be like a Muir wannabe, or sort of a Thoreau, or, you know, a transcendentalist like Emerson. I worship, I believe in the creator and all that, but I also worship nature, and I laugh at all the people that think we're suffering up here in Alaska, because for me, Alaska is the greatest kingdom on this earth. I mean, it's gorgeous. How can you not love Alaska?
Right, right. So like I said earlier, we're going to do a weekly show called The Gypsy Musher, and it will be right here on blogtalkradio.com/dogworks, and we will have a website up for the brand new show in a week or two. So pay attention to us. We're going to be all over Facebook for sure. I know Hugh has 3,000-4,000 followers there,
Almost as many as you, buddy.
Almost as many as me. And, you know, most of mine came from this show in particular. I've reached my limit because of this show. Back when our show first started, we would often see hundreds of people coming on to be friends and followers of our program then. And it's all because we were out there, you know, spreading a message. And our message has always been about the lifestyle, whether it's the lifestyle of training dogs, which is entirely different than wearing a shirt and tie to work, or living out here in the wilds of Alaska on the back of a dog sled. That's what our shows are about. It's about that lifestyle that we lead, and I'm so happy to have you on as a brand new show.
That being said, though, I hope people in Radio Land realize that I'm not your typical dog musher. I'm a little bit, even I would think most dog mushers would agree that Hunev's a little bit out there.
You know,
just because I travel so much. Not many people are lucky enough to do what I do.
I agree, and you and I met 3 or 4 years ago. I invited you to come to my daughter's school as one of these school tours, and I want to get into that. We have about left about these school tours that you do. That's how you and I met several years ago. We built kind of a friendship, and we've traded dogs, you know, back and forth over that time. And you've taught me a heck of a lot about this mushing world that I am now living in. And a big part of me being here is being able to find out what you're about and what you do. That's
Are you
one
stalking me too?
It's not stalking, but you know that
cyber stalking.
But that's one of the reasons I'm here. As I wanted to, you know, kind of capture that a little bit.
You're in a beautiful spot here, man.
Well, thank you, and thanks for hanging out here at our home here in Willow. And like you said, it's the mushing capital of the world, which is just right down the road. Is the start of the Iditarod. So let's talk about these school tours for just a few minutes, Hugh. Tell us about what those are all about. What can people expect when you have these tours? I know you have a tour coming up right around Christmas time in the Midwest. You're hitting up Rapid City and possibly Duluth, my old stomping grounds, as well as the Twin Cities and other areas. What is that program about?
To be quite honest, the main reason I'm going to be doing this tour is a teacher in Rapid City invited me, and I said, hey, you know, why not? I haven't been there. And also my buddy Mike Pickell up in northern Wisconsin invited me to go to the Bears-Packers game in Lambeau on Christmas, so I'm looking forward to that. But what I really try to do in these school tours is I call it shock and awe, and it's all about showing these kids that work is not a bad word. And I say up in the north, we call work play because it makes that day that much more enjoyable. And what I'm really trying to promote through these tours is taking risks in life, learning diversified education where you're not narrow-minded in your mind thought of others and the world, and trying to get out of tough times through perseverance. That's what one of the old Iditarodders told me. A fellow when I was doing a race up in Nome said, there's one word to define Iditarod, it would be persevere. And we all go through it every year. You have to overcome obstacles. The beauty about my situation now is that I've done so many races that I've learned a lot of things, you know, what not to do. And it might be embarrassing, and I might have been through some horrible times, but I've also grown from it as well.
And that's the message you're trying to get to these kids, because many of these kids, especially in the inner cities, they have no idea what mushing is all about.
Yeah, and they're just I try to get them away from being too much into the video games. I always tell them life can be a video game. Don't waste your whole, you know, treasure that you've been given watching TV all day. Get out there and explore the world. The beauty of walking down a trail with a dog or a couple dogs is hard to match, you know, and just a team of dogs, it's heaven. So, you know, I really feel great when I do these school tours. I would do about a tour typically in the fall or winter, and then I do my major tour in May where I go all up and down the East Coast throughout the Midwest and South. And I'll do about 25, 30 schools in a month, man. It's exhausting. I'm driving all over the place, but I just I love the people's reaction to it. I'm really building up quite a fun base of schools, and I've done some of these schools 7, 8 years in a row now, and they're just not bored with it. Teachers get into it as much as the students do.
And a lot of these teachers in particular, they follow you on the trail through Iditarod, and they teach it in their classrooms, and they have a whole segment in the month of March about how they teach their curriculum based on this this lifestyle, the Iditarod, and you'll see on Facebook so many of these teachers following you. Go, Hugh! You know, let's go. You know, you have a cheerleader literally all over the country, don't you?
Yeah, but that being said, you know, some of my friends might disagree with me, but whatever. I don't really consider people to be my fan unless they know who my dogs are on lead. They know about my team. They know, you know, our recent successes and stuff. I'm not into the whole celebrity age stuff. There's a lot of Facebook friends and fans out there that are doing it because you're well known, and I don't want to be a part of that. I want people to be into me. They want to learn about my dogs. They want to learn about Alaska. I don't want people just to hope this guy wins a race. That's not what hopefully any of my fans are about. I'm sure there's a lot of them out there like that, but I don't think that's what the dog mushing scene should be about. I think the Iditarod, the Quest, all these smaller races as well, they are races, but they are more than anything a celebration of Alaska. And if we start worrying more about prize money and who's won how many races in a row, then we're losing the whole point of why Joe Reddington started this in the first place. And that was the beauty of my buddy John Baker winning last year, is it brought back the native vision and the native spirit into this race, which is really what Iditarod's about. It's going and checking out the different peoples from all over Alaska. And that's why I do it every year, because I just so respect these people and what they have allowed us as people that are not from this land to learn from them. You know, without the native people's influence in dog mushing would be quite boring, actually.
And it is. And again, not to partake anything away from our fans down in the States, but I was a wannabe musher for years down in the States, and it's entirely different than it is up here. It's a different vibe. It's a different lifestyle. It's different racing, and the whole thing is entirely different than it is up here in Alaska. So lastly, Hugh, I know that you're talking this weekend at the Carlson Center in Fairbanks, the Winter Expo. Tell us a little bit about that.
Frog up there at the Quest headquarters asked me to come up and do a talk about training. There's going to be different veteran mushers there talking at the expo this year. And I usually freewheel a lot of this stuff. And I think people might be a little bit surprised by my training techniques because I think they're a little bit low-key compared to a lot of the guys that I race against. That's the beauty of dog mushing, though, man. You have 10 people in the top 10 with 10 totally different training styles. And we all look at animals differently, so we all have different bonds with them and different ways of running them. But I think, if anything, my goal in life isn't to win a race. My goal as a dog musher is to be in the top 5 of every race. So I'm just going to try to show people that if you want to be an impressive dog musher, it isn't if you win a race or two races in a row. It's how you care for your animals over the long term. And if I have dogs that have done 7, 8, I got Maestro out in the truck. He's done 11,000 milers between Custer and Iditarod. I think that hopefully proves my point as being a person who really cares about his dogs.
So does it come to a different training style then in terms of when you said you're going to talk about training at this Winter Expo, or is it more about kind of your circumstance? You know, what would be different between – in just a sentence or two, what's the difference between the top mushers of the world in terms of training?
Focus, determination. You got to be a little bit arrogant and believe in yourself, but you also have to be humble and realize that you're just human. Lord knows Mother Nature's put me in my place before. I think just experience, man, and toning it down a notch. My favorite, Mackie, a guy who I really look up to as the guy I really want to be like, is Rick Mackey. And he'd always make fun of the young hot rods, you know, with all the testosterone. He'd always say, well, I'll get you sooner or later. And that's what you learn in life, is you tone it down a notch. You tone your training down a notch. And it's not about being the toughest or the fastest. It's about being the most consistent and knowing how to contain that energy for the longest period of time. And that's the beauty of John Baker last year, man. That guy's got another 7,500 pounds on me. So all these big mushers that have been making excuses for the last year saying, oh, it's not fair that Jeff King wins because he's so small, that excuse don't fly no more. We're all on equal competitive playing field, but it's up to you to come to the starting line, not with the best dogs, but with the best team, and that's what training is all about.
So we can contact you through this show on blogtalkradio.com or through your website, laughingeyeskennel.com. That's kind of your main landing page, as well as you're all over Facebook and get a heck of a lot of good comments on there back and forth. So, Hugh, what's up? What's coming up in the next couple of shows? How are we going to start this off and keep it rolling?
I would just want to talk about my dogs, to be quite honest. I want to talk about dogs. I want to talk about maybe some of the folks that have really influenced me. It's going to be a journey that I guarantee you will never be boring, because I am Hugh Neff, and I don't like to be bored.
There you go. So this is the Gypsy Musher. The GypsyMusher.com will be our brand new website. It will be up before we know it, as well as find us on Facebook and Twitter and just about everywhere else. Everybody that's followed us before knows how to get in touch with us. But, again, send your comments or concerns to us, and we'll make sure that that we'll get them answered. And if you have any questions for Hugh, I'm sure a lot of his people are going to say, wow, I didn't even know this show was on. What in the world can we talk about? I'm looking forward to hearing all of those comments as well. So this is
especially for all these school kids out here. This is a big reason why I'm doing the show. I really want to get the teachers and kids involved, and maybe my dream can help other dreams.
There you go. It is all about chasing dreams and living that lifestyle, whether you're up in the north or you're in the inner cities of Chicago or Philadelphia or whatever. A dream is never too hard to attain. So, again, on behalf of our guest here and future co-host, Hugh Neff, it's going to be a great time to have him on every week. And for Dogworks Radio, my name is Robert Forto. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.